Our sermon scripture today is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
I'd like you to turn in a Bible, if you could, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as I'm going to point out some verses that come just prior to what Avery has just read for us. In the Pew Bible, 2 Corinthians 5 can be found on page 1144. So 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 1144 in the Pew Bible. I'm seeking to set the context, to set the stage for the lesson this morning as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in those verses. And as we look at 2 Corinthians 5, I want you to look at verse 7 with me. We live by faith, not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. In Paul's letter to the Corinthian Christians, Paul is asking his readers to shift their focus. Shifting their focus from thinking about life in this world to thinking about heaven and everlasting life in heaven. We live by faith, not by sight. Paul wants Christians to shift their focus from life in this world of what we can see and what we can touch, what we can experience. He wants to shift our focus to living by faith in God, pursuing God constantly, and living our daily lives in honor of God, always aware of the goal of eternal salvation. Next, look at 2 Corinthians 5, verses 8 and 9. We are confident, Paul says, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. To be away from the body and at home with the Lord. The longing for the return of Christ. That promised second coming when Christ shall come in light and glory. And when he will call all believers to him, to himself. In the glory and the wonder of eternal life. That's what Paul means by to be at home with the Lord. Being away from the body refers to the difficult life that we live on this earth with all the trials and the troubles and the difficulties that we encounter and that we have to endure through. Being away from the body is Paul's way of describing that time when Christians will be in eternity with God and there will be no more tears, no more troubles. There will be joy and there will be peace. The first phrase of verse 9 is so important. We make it our goal to please him. We make it our goal to please the Lord. That's the goal of a Christian, to please the Lord. And to please the Lord, and think about that, we have to ask ourselves, what does it mean? How? How do we please the Lord? The simple answer is, we please the Lord by living for him. Think about what you might do to please a parent. What might you do to please a teacher or a coach or a supervisor or a friend? What are some of the things that you would do to please someone important to you? Paul is calling for a shift in our theology. He's calling for us to forsake our self-desire or anything, our thoughts about self-importance in this world, so that we can focus our entire being on Christ, so that we might please the Lord. And the reason for the shift is the reality of the end times. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Everyone, every individual person, every believer, every non-believer, everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And in that time of judgment, each person will receive what is due him or due her for the things done while alive in the body on this earth. In that time, Christ will be on the throne, and everyone will appear before him. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, beginning at the 31st verse, describes what that scene will be like. And it also offers how we can please the Lord. Matthew 25, 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory. All the nations, all the people will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. The description of that time when Christ will return, and that time of separation, and that time of judgment because of what we have done on this earth, or also what we have not done on this earth. Paul and his co-workers, knowing the truths and the promises that Jesus Christ has offered, Paul goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11, to impel the Corinthian Christians to persuade men, to persuade people. Paul had a deep passion. He passionately desired that men and women would come to Jesus. Paul is speaking of the Great Commission given by Jesus in Matthew 28, where Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything to obey as I have commanded you. All of that sets the stage, sets the background, which leads us to the consideration of the passage that Avery has read for us, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. Christians, we are to live by faith. We are to live to please the Lord. And we are to strive to persuade people to know and accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. A devotional piece that a person gave me on this passage shared this thought for the day. Today I will show God's love by responding peacefully. Today I will show God's love by responding peacefully. Christians, believers are called by God to be people of peace. In our interactions towards and with people, we are to foster peace, not confrontation. Even when we disagree with people, with their beliefs, or their opinions, or their action, we are to converse in peaceful ways. Look at verse 17. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. We normally read that verse as a part of our celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ in that new creation that we have in the blood of Christ. But we read this now in a new creation, in some sense, a new creation as people of peace. As people of peace, when someone we know who has forsaken a life immersed in sin, when they've turned and when they've repented and they've come to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul instructs us to know that person as a new creation. Verse 18, all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. As people of peace, we recognize our own sinfulness, and we give our glory to God for our salvation through Jesus Christ. And as God has forgiven us our sins, reconciling us to him, we are called to offer that forgiveness and that reconciliation to others who might have sinned against us. As God has forgiven us, we are to forgive others. We must forgive others, not counting their past sins against them, as they too have come to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord. And then verses 19 and 20. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. To be people of peace, to be God's ambassadors, to be representatives of Jesus Christ, that's who we are each. Each one of us are called to be a people of peace. Each one of us as an ambassador, a representative. And that's a call to action. That's a call for us to act. An ambassador is a person who is serving in a foreign land as the representative of a king. An ambassador serves in a foreign land on behalf of the American president, a representative of the president of the nation. As Christians, we are called to serve in a foreign land, and that foreign land is the world of sin. It's not where we're supposed to be. But as ambassadors of Christ, we represent Christ in a sinful world, offering the message of peace and hope and love and joy that Jesus has given to us. Verses 20 and 21, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Paul implores the Corinthian Christians. I enjoy that word, implore. It's not begging. It's not pleading. It's more of an urgent desire. This is what I really want you to be about, Paul is saying, to be reconciled to God now. For us to be people of peace, to be ambassadors, to be representatives, we must first ourselves be reconciled to God. And by being so reconciled, we are prepared to persuade others to come to Jesus. In order to be people of peace, we have to forsake what we might have considered natural reactions to situations. People can tend to lash out at others when something has gone wrong or when an injustice has occurred. As a person of peace, there are many times where I cannot understand the reactions of people to wrongs or to injustices in the world. Many years ago, a couple of decades ago, I could not understand how someone who protested against abortion could turn around and bomb an abortion clinic where people were working in the office. Last summer, when a policeman unjustly killed an African American, I could not understand the violence that swept through several cities in protest. I cannot understand how political campaigns can be filled with smear campaigns and tactics rather than just open and honest debate. But we can't be surprised. In the Bible, while I know what happened, there's still a part of me that can't understand how those Jews turned against Jesus. How those on Sunday who glorified him, several days later shouted out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Now I offer those situations and questions rhetorically, thoughts for us to ponder and not necessarily answer right now. In difficult situations, it seems easier to be more focused on injustice than on love, more intent on being right than seeking resolution. As people of peace, our thoughts, our responses need to be removed from irritation and outrage and move to understanding and compassion. And as you read these verses, God empowers us with words of encouragement and words of peace. God asks us to be Christ's ambassadors to those around us. That when others are angry or defensive or hurt, we are called and even equipped to respond at God's people with compassion and with love and with peace. Through our prayers and through our Christ-like responses, God's transforming love can heal the hearts of those around us and bring His peace to all situations. Let's pray. Lord, in this Advent season, on this Sunday, when we focus in on the concept and reality of peace, Lord, forgive us of those times when we have not responded in peace. Lord, help us to forsake ourselves and to look to You, to fix our being on Your truth and on Your love and on Your peace. That as we go into the world this day and this week, we might be Your representatives, Your ambassadors to all who would hear us, all who would see us, who would respond to us, that we would sow Your blessings of peace. In Christ we pray. Amen. One of the blessings of the Advent and Christmas seasons is the sharing of gifts. That special gift that we have purchased or maybe we've made for someone, and we give that out of love. Well, Christians on Sunday mornings who have gathered, we have this opportunity to give. Whether we're here in our homes and we send our offerings, we have this aspect of a loving gift to God that others might know His peace. So I invite our ushers forward. Lord God, in faithful love and obedience, we bring these offerings, these tithes to you, that they might be seeds of peace to all that we touch. In Christ we pray. Amen.
Our closing carol is number 133, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. After the benediction, we'll have the second verse of 127, Thou Didst Leave Thy Throne.
May the light of Christ illumine your life, and may he lead you into the glory of eternal salvation. Amen.